Well, hello out there, and welcome to the Gospel Jazz Connection with D Nice and Miss M. And I'm Miss M on the air right now, and on this rainy day, as they say, in sunny California. I hope you guys are feeling it today, because I'm going to play you some good jazz music today. But I'm going to open up with a gospel piece called God Has Smiled on Me with Greg Botts.
Oh, well, well. Smiled on me. He has
Well, hello out there on the Gospel Jazz Connection. I got D-Nice on the line.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Ms. M?
I'm doing great on a rainy day.
Good. That's what I'm saying. I've got an incomparable young man here in the studio that is the pillar of Los Angeles and the pillar of those things that are called financial and those things that are called walking the godly walk. So putting all these together for this kind of like gloomy, wet day, we still have that light. We still have that hope. We still have that knowing that we are covered. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said at the end of every show, ladies and gentlemen, put God first and everything else will follow. I guarantee it. That's what we do here on Gospel Jazz Connection. We bring you the best in the music. We bring you the best in interviews. And spoiler alert, Atlanta, I'm not going to give you the score, guys, for you people out there, but Atlanta is kind of like doing a cakewalk today against Green Bay. So get ready for a great interview with Mr. Brown. So, Ms. Sam, you go ahead and just take it away, and I'll be back at you. I think you're going to play me Eric Burton in War. I saw that one. That looks good. Ms. Sam, is that what you're going to bring to me?
I'll bring that in a moment. Gentlemen.
Yeah, because I need that right now. I need that right now. Got it? So.
This lonely game we play. Thoughts of weeping disappear every time I see your face. No matter how hard I try to understand the reasons why we carry on this way. We're lost in a masquerade. Oh, in a masquerade. Thank you.
Okay, so Brother D Nights, I hear you got a guest in the studio. Who is that?
Yes, I do, Miss M. Thank you for sticking down with the ones and twos and playing the music. The music was so nice. I mean, for such a rain-soaked day out there, and I mean, flooding's all over. So I pray that those out there in the burn areas will not, you know, saying, be deprived of their housing or inconvenienced any more than they need to. But although we do need the rain, because the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust, so let us be just as we seek his face and try to connect the dots. Mr. John Brown, were here earlier talking about that message that he gives as a minister and as a financial guy, but first and foremost, a man of God. And we were just talking about how we need it, but yet and still, we need to come together. So as the rain comes down and brings people collectively under a roof, let us some way find this year a way to bring ourselves together under cohesiveness of the word and knowing that if somebody does you wrong, you don't do them wrong in return. You let God handle it. So here we are on the Gospel Jazz Connection, where we bring you the best in music and the best in interviews, and today is no different. I bring you the one, the only man of God, Mr. John Brown. Mr. Brown, thanks for being there with me.
How are you doing?
Good. Put your mic up a little bit more. Now, Mr. Brown, I got a chance to meet you at one of the conventions you did. You got a chance to come into K2AM and sit down with me and Michael Jones and talk about some of the things you do in the financial world. But also, first and foremost, I know that your life is not your own. But you have a higher calling on your life, and also you do the ministry too. So I know it's a combination that people can try to say, oh, wow, that's great. He can cover from both ends. But nobody can explain it better than you can. So we don't do interviews here. We talk about journeys. So if we can start talking about your journey, just jump in and let's just talk about it.
And that's what I'm talking about, journey. You know, I'm not an ordained minister, but my ministry is economic empowerment for my people. My ministry is economic integration. My ministry is financial stewardship. You know, and the whole idea here is if we learn to become good stewards and collaborate, we can get economic parity. And until we have economic parity, we won't have justice, we won't have civil rights, we won't have equal rights. Because in our capitalistic democracy, we have to be economically on par in order to play the game. In short, you know, if a stool has three legs or four legs, if they're not even, they're out of balance. We're out of balance. We aren't generating enough jobs because our income is behind, because our wealth index is behind, and primarily because the revenue we generate as businessmen are behind. We generate about $180 billion a year. We should be generating about $1.7 trillion a year for us to be equal to the rest of America. And if we catch up that number by growing our businesses, you know, we talk consumption, but it's a lot more than just consumption. You know, we got to create businesses that have products for everybody. The target market is not just us, like our personal care products, but the target market is someone else. You know, like we've been pushing Gorilla Life here. That's a product from our inner city here. But the target market is the millennia. It's not me. It's not right. You, D. Knight. It's the millennial generation who don't cook. Is there lemonade for this century? So we got to develop companies and products that really reach way beyond our boundaries. And they reach target markets that could be international. Because we need businesses. Our gross national product as a community need to be about $1.7 trillion. So what's important is coming up this week is we have an emancipation tour. And that's Saturday from 10 to 4 o'clock. You know, I think the entry is $20 or $25. And I'm sure if you don't have any money, we can arrange for you to get in because the information is so important. But there is a limited number of seats. I think we only have 250 or 300 seats. But the Emancipation Tour is about financial freedom. The emancipation is to be financially free. Too often we're not financially free because we handcuff ourselves or we put ourselves in a glass ceiling and we don't realize that if we're doing what we should be doing and what we're supposed to be doing and what we're called to do, we have God with us and nothing can stop us from accomplishing. We can be giant killers. We can really be movements. You know, who would have thought 20 years ago that we would have just had a black president for 8 years? We got to think the same thing economically. We got to realize we can reach 1.7 trillion or 2 million and 2 trillion in gross revenue in the next 20 years. That only means our current business volume need to grow at 15% a year. And one of the things we got to do in this life journey is each individual from our community has to think where are they in their life journey. In short, what's next for them? Do they need to repair their credit? Well, they should be at our Emancipation Tour on Saturday at the Carson Community Center. Do they need to think about a trust, a will for planning their estate? They should be there. Do they realize what wealth really is? Wealth is building assets. No matter how much money you make, if you don't invest it so that your passive income is enough to sustain your lifestyle, you don't have wealth. You know, you got to build assets that earn money. Planned giving is. That's when you give from your assets to your family, to your church, to the community. That's not when you're giving from the little cash you make. You're giving from the assets that you accumulate. Often when I'm asking people to invest in what I recommend, they want to know when do they get it back. Well, the idea isn't for them to get it back. You know, I mean, you want liquidity events so they can get it back. But the idea is for them to invest in things that will grow. And the income from those things will help them build a sustainable lifestyle, and it will be leaving something for their children's children. And if we don't learn to build assets, and, you know, the common term today is wealth. To me, it's wealth once you have enough passive assets. Passive assets mean things that earn money without you doing anything. In real estate, we like to say owning some real estate is passive, but it's not. You still got to collect the rent, repair the buildings. I mean, pure passive, letting go of your money to something you don't have anything to do with. And too often we don't want to do it because we don't understand it. So if you come out Saturday, you'll learn about investment matrix. You know, what investments are safe, what are stable, and what are speculative, what are risk. Mm-hmm. And now you got to have some of your portfolio at risk. But the first thing is, if you don't have any savings, any assets, you can't have a portfolio. So if you're running around spending every dime you make, charging every bit of credit that you have, you're in trouble yourself. So in your life journey, what's next for you? Is it career development? Is it growing your business to the next level? Is it sustainability? Is it legacy? How do you sustain what you're doing? Too often when you open a business and you build it up and it does well, you've created a good job for yourself. In fact, of the 2.5 million African-American businesses that we were able to document by the Department of Commerce, I think it was 2013 numbers, 2.3 million of them make less than $100,000 a year, and there's only one person, you know, one employee. Well, it's that 2.5 million that's only grossing 1.8 billion. And so we don't create We don't create enough jobs.
Right.
So we were grossing 1.7 trillion. Look how many jobs we would create. And look, if we're hiring from our own, you know, hiring from people we know and trust, look how their incomes would be more on par with others. And if we're investing in them, look how our wealth would grow. You know, wealth isn't counting your home. Wealth is what's your net worth, your assets minus your liabilities. That's your net worth. And if you don't count your home, what is it? Now, most of you have assets in the Social Security. You have assets in your pension plan. But what other assets do you have? So one of the assets we'll really be talking about on Saturday is an index universal policy, a life policy. The importance of insurance is it grows in value tax-free. So you're compounding the growth. And, you know, if you put money in anything else, when it earns 5% that year, you got to give the government their share of the 5%. But if you put it in a certain life insurance product, the compound growth is yours without taxes, or it's deferred until you draw it out. So if you draw it, and if you never draw it out, if you transfer it to the next generation, it's still not taxed. It's just an asset. So the idea is, if you bought a policy for your grandchild or your children today at $100 or $150 a month, and it grew at 5%, it would be worth over $1 million in 30 years. So that would be you building wealth for the next generation. So it's those kind of topics we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about you building wealth for the next generation, you being a good steward of what you have, how well is your planning, do you have an asset growth plan, are you involved in an investment matrix? Are you investing in the new crowdfunding that's available with regulated crowdfunding? You know, like right now, I have a buyout for a Punch TV studio.
Right.
You know, not whether he can accomplish it or not, but he needs 50. First thing he needs to accomplish is to raise the money. And if you can risk $100, why not take the risk?
Mm-hmm.
He don't have a chance if he doesn't get the money.
Right.
You know, right here with D-Nice, it's stuff he wants to do. If we don't risk some money with him, he don't have a chance to reach his potential. You know, so, you know, he can have all the expertise in the world, but he don't have a chance, he can't reach it. I read a number recently that says of all the venture capital, this is speculative money,
mm-hmm.
that our ideas only get access to 1% of the money. But yet we're 10, 11% of the population. Well, you got to understand the problem is we aren't helping our people get access to the money.
Right.
Where's the money we're doing? We expect somebody else to back our people?
Mm-hmm.
We've got to back our people.
Right.
So, you know, where I have Punch TV Studio on the buy list,
mm-hmm.
you know, one I strongly recommend and support and mentoring is the Greenwood Project, greenwoodproject.org.
Mm-hmm.
It's some young men. I think the young man just turned 22 on the 17th.
Wow.
And he has three compatriots, one that haven't graduated from Howard and the other two that are recent graduates, 2016 and 15.
Mm-hmm.
They're out on the crowdfunding platform to raise $1 million, and they need to raise it by May. I strongly recommend them because the platform they're creating is an incubator so they can get money for other folks.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much... It's to empower them so they can empower others. So think of it like the big, long freight trains we see when we're sitting at a railroad crossing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to be an engine
mm-hmm.
and a caboose,
mm-hmm.
and they want to add as many cars as they can. And every car is another black business, another
mm-hmm.
business from mm-hmm. our community. So if they can fund 200 cars or 300 cars, we can add another. We can add another, what do we call the front end? We can add another tractor.
Yeah.
We can add another motor on the
yeah.
front. So
right.
we can pull as many cars
right.
as we can.
Right.
Whereas I'm busy helping two or three businesses at a time and developing real estate everywhere I can find something to help people to develop.
Mm-hmm.
By us supporting this kind of platform, we can help hundreds of our businesses at a time.
Mm-hmm.
By us creating this kind of portal and then creating this kind of platform, we'll be able to help a lot of our businesses,
mm-hmm.
all with $100 share contributions.
Right.
And all of us should be able to risk a little bit, but we can't risk anything if we don't have our act together. So the Emancipation Tour is about what's next for you. Where are you in the journey? Come out and look at our exhibitors about owning versus renting.
Mm-hmm.
Not just owning your home, but owning your business, growing your business. Look at it about this index universal life
mm-hmm.
and how insurance can be used. What's the importance of real estate? What's the importance of the investment matrix? You know, should you have a trust, a family partnership?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how well organized are you? First thing, shouldn't your credit score be good? All of us go through hardships,
mm-hmm.
whether it's medical or economic downturns. But we got to realize once we've been through it, we got to get that credit score back over 700. We should be fighting to get it at 800. We can't get access to institutional money if we don't have good credit score. You can't go to the bank and borrow money with a 650 credit score. You can't get a decent mortgage. It's estimated that we lose $323. I don't remember if it was a month or a year, by paying too much interest rate.
Right.
You know, we go to buy a car, we don't get the best interest rate. We can't get that bargain because our credit score is too low.
Mm-hmm.
We go to buy insurance, they rate your insurance premium, you know, when you're paying it on time off your credit score.
Wow.
You know, when your credit card, if you pay at 12, 14, 15%, 22% interest and a 6% interest,
mm-hmm.
you might be happy to have a credit. But think if you had good credit, all of that interest that you just gave away, you could be building your portfolio. You could be risking that $100 on the Greenwood Project. Or you might be able to risk $500. If you could throw away $300 on interest, can't you afford to put $500 on the Greenwood Project? Can't you afford to put $500 on Punch TV Studios? Can't you afford to put $500 with D-Nice so he can build his studio? So the whole idea here is where are you in the journey? So come out and see, can we help you get to the next step on your journey? You can come out and spend the day with us on Saturday. We'll help you see clearly how you can get to the next step on your life journey because all of us are at a different walk in life. You know, some of us are back learning to do a budget and be good stewards. Some of us are still planning our career. Where do we want to go? How do we go? Some of us need alternative or alternate income sources. You know, multiple. We got a good job, and we don't want to leave that. So what do we do to earn more income? Maybe there's some product we need to be selling, something else we can do on the on part time to help do it. Well, the reason we want you to come out is so we can give you that vision. And if you're financially illiterate, we have a program called Moses we'll introduce you to, which is teaching you financial literacy on a month-by-month basis. Mm-hmm. Wherever you are on the journey, there will be something there for you to help you get to the next step. And I want to talk to those who are ready to play,
right?
Those
right.
who are really yeah. ready to help the community. Mm-hmm. I'm the end of the day mm-hmm. on Saturday.
Right.
I want to talk to the ones that are ready to put the 100 or 500 or 1,000 in Punch Studio.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk to those that are ready to do the speculative investment in the Greenwood Group so we can get that million raised. I'm ready to talk to those who are ready to do the safe investments in our community and the stable investments in our community. But I'm ready for those who are ready to do the alternative investments that are required so we can get our people economic integration, economic power, mm-hmm. economic empowerment, mm-hmm. so that we can do good in our community. I'm there to teach and educate on impact giving and impact investment. And by impact, we mean your money is making money on impact investment while it's doing some social good. It's helping our people who are unproductive become more productive.
Yeah.
On impact giving, are you giving in a manner where we can measure the social impact?
Mm-hmm.
Again, are you giving to a place that preserves principle and builds an endowment and funds the income to support a community organization? Too many of our community organizations die when the person running it dies, or they die when the government source dries up for what they're doing. Instead of them having their own endowment, that endowment being invested in our community and the income from that endowment supporting their organization in perpetuity. So the whole thing here is to teach perpetuity. Things need to be sustainable.
Right.
They shouldn't stop and end when I die.
Mm-hmm.
We celebrated King and the Civil Rights Movement. But we had to keep these things moving.
Right.
You know, King had moved toward economic rights. What have we done?
Mm-hmm.
You're not legislating it. Them that have, I'm going to take off the table and give it to you.
Right.
You're not going to get tax laws passed that's going to reallocate wealth.
Right.
You know, so we have to learn to aggregate our money and invest in ourselves. Nobody else is going to invest in it.
No.
They're going to give us crumbs off the table.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing we give our pets and our dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You know? In fact, some of us give our dogs better food than we give our people. So we've got to learn to invest in ourselves
right.
and create more jobs
mm-hmm.
and have better income and build assets and wealth among ourselves. And that doesn't mean we don't love everybody else.
Right.
But it means after loving God, we love our family,
right. exactly.
our people,
exactly.
and we put our people first.
Mm-hmm.
We want to call other people racist and all of this, I think we're all prejudiced, and we know there's a lot of racism, but let's start taking care of our own. Take care of yourself. Come out and see how we can help you get to the next journey, and then come out and see how you can help our people get on par so we can have economic parity, and then we can have justice and political clout. Doesn't matter how many elected officials we elect. If we don't empower them, if we don't have the dollars to make things to happen, if we don't fund the think tanks to give them the right programs, if we don't help fund their campaigns, who do they answer to? So our economic power is weakened by the fact that we don't have our political power, is weakened by the fact that we don't have economic power.
Right.
Our influence on the justice system is weakened. We look at these crimes against our youth and our kids. Let's go all the way back to Ferguson in Missouri.
Right.
How do you have a predominantly black population city and the police department isn't controlled by blacks? And the businesses, the pizza business businesses aren't primarily black. See, in the city, and the city council, you know, all the numbers are wrong.
Right.
You know, if we control the population, we should control the economics. You know, and we should reach out to have economics in their community. So that's where we're going. So when we say emancipation, we're talking about on the emancipation tour. How do we free ourselves? How do we take the shackles off that we have on ourselves? How do we take that glass ceiling away that we have on ourselves? So come learn where you are in the emancipation process, where you are in the financial freedom process, where you are in the wealth building process, where you are in the legacy process. Where are you? How is your financial infrastructure? What can you do next to be stronger as a person and be stronger in helping our people? I could go on for days. As you see, I get excited about this. I love this.
Right.
This is my ministry.
Right.
My ministry in life, and my job in life, is helping our people become economically on par.
And it's so needed, because as I look back, and I had a discussion yesterday with a few people, and the bottom to the whole thing was, why do we not trust? Why do we not just, like, there's other communities that stick together. You know, five people be living in one place so that they can just make sure that everybody has something and everybody shares and eats out of it. But yet and still, when you have a couple of people together in our community, you may be on this side of the street, I may be on that side of the street, we've been having the same business. But that doesn't mean we have to fight each other. But it seems like every time we get a chance to show up and get something and give something, we're quick to get, but we don't want to give back.
Well, you know, that's that I problem.
Right.
You know, we don't thank the we. You know, I made it, you can make it too.
Right.
I like to use a barbecue restaurant as an example.
Okay.
You know, we think our barbecue is better. Mm-hmm. We want to go open our own restaurant. And instead of going to the person who already had an established one and getting a license or getting getting his, using his brand and paying a fee. What happened? Yeah, franchise is what I'm trying to say. Whereas if we open our own, how do we sustain it?
Right.
If our kids don't take it over, how do we sustain it?
Right.
Whereas if we open under one brand and we end up with 15 or 20 or 100 under that brand, when we're ready to quit, we can sell it. It'll have value. I mean, all this coming together applies everywhere. I was talking to a group of subcontractors that were plumbers, and they were each talking about how do we get more of this business, the metro business and all.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to them about, if you start talking about sustainability, you realize that you don't need to get citizens. You can become the prime plumbing contractor.
Mm-hmm.
In short, if four of you who are very good at doing the work and you built your business all your life, if you combine them into one company, and you have one administration, one brand,
right,
you could bid to be the prime plumbing contractor and not be some sub under some other plumb.
Gotcha.
So we got to stop thinking about the citicide. We got to compete straight up. You know, we won the presidency. That wasn't a citicide.
Right.
He didn't get X because he was black.
Right.
On contracts, we got to combine our knowledge. We got to build teams. So that's a mindset thing. You know, the slavery really implanted in us that division, you know, where we told the master about anybody trying to revolt. It really planted this eye in us and this lack of trust. So the whole message, that's what I say, the Ministry of Economic Empowerment, the whole game is a mindset change. We got to change our mindset to collaboration. You know, I didn't say cooperation. I said collaboration.
Right.
It's got to go another step further.
Yes.
There's
yes.
got to be some trust extended. We can say you only trust God, but what we got to do is build relationships so we're building some trust among ourselves.
Right.
And if we don't build those relationships, and it's all about relationships. George Frazier is heading up Saturday, the Emancipation Tour. It'll be his 30th anniversary this year for his Power Networking Conference in Maryland. And all he's about is networking. His whole idea is us building relationships with one another.
Exactly.
So when I need something that D Nice have, I remember to call him to come fill this for me. You know, if he's doing something he think can be beneficial to me, then he give me a call. But we're always sharing resources, and we're building conglomerates and teams and collaborative to get done what we need to do. That's the mindset change we have to do. And it's very important that the baby boomer generation get on board.
Right.
The baby boomers, there's a whole segment of the baby boomers that generated from civil rights. They got the civil service job. They've been successful entrepreneurs. And as a whole, they failed in getting Generation X to take it to another level.
Right.
Most of the baby boomers, it was their first generation at some comfort, and they raised their children in comfort. So the children don't have the hunger or the grit to go. So the baby boomers still have a responsibility left of helping Generation X, and to the extent it's lost, they got to help the millennial generation.
Right.
So like these 22-year-olds that I was talking about, we got to give them that $1 million so they can go out there and they know we got their back. And they might fail, but if we lose $100, so what?
Right.
They had a chance to do it.
Yes.
We got to back them. We got to put some money behind Generation X and the millennial. We got to put some support, and we got to show a mindset change as we age out. As we're timed out, as our life journey ends, the last thing left for us to do Those who've been successful, their retirement is more than what they need to live off of. But those that are comfortable in retirement and able to put their kids and grandkids through college, we now have got to speculate on the other. We got to do impact giving to help the organizations in our community, and we got to do impact investment to build the businesses in our community. So the baby boomers have a tremendous responsibility at this point. They got a legacy responsibility. What are they leaving for their kids and their grandkids? What are they transferring to them now so they can maximize their potential? So right now they need to look at that. Mm-hmm. Are their trusts in place, their wills in place?
Yeah.
So that generation really has a tremendous responsibility, especially the middle-income ones who've done well and the upper-middle-income ones, the ones who feel they're wealthy. They have a tremendous responsibility to help the younger generation, and they have a tremendous responsibility to help the baby boomers who did do well. You know, we got to help our seniors go out gracefully.
Yes.
You know, we got to make sure they're comfortable with places to stay and programs and supports and services. So we got to make sure our giving supports them and they transition nightly. So we have a lot of work left. Even if your career is through, what's next for you is how you going to help your family and your extended family, our people. What are you doing so the next generation will be better off? And the future generation, your kids and your grandkids' kids.
Right.
And if you don't have any kids, somebody else's kids. You know? But how do you help our people? So if you come out on Saturday, you're going to hear about where you are, whether you're a baby boomer or a millennial. What's next for you? Whether it's fixing your credit, or whether it's building your budget, or whether it's building your portfolio, or whether it's where to give. How to make an impact investment and impact giving, what your trust or family partnership should be, what programs available for you for home ownership and investing in real estate. Come out and get emancipated. Get released from whatever's binding you and holding you back to get through your next step.
Now, we got a couple of minutes left. So what I want to do is take some time to give us the time, the date, the location, and get all that one there. You got about a minute to just wrap that up and tell us that word to walk by.
The Emancipation Tour is Saturday at the Carson Community Center from 10 to 4 o'clock. The Carson Community Center is approximately at Avalon and Carson Boulevard.
Yeah.
Just a little east on Carson Boulevard. You can't miss it.
Right.
Beautiful facility, you know, in between the Carson City Council, city offices, and the hotel and office building. There's a hotel. It's sitting right between those two with all the free parking you can be. Lunch will be served, plenty of exhibits for you to get information from, and a lineup of speakers that you will be impressed with. So you will go home with ready.
Right.
You'll go home motivated and inspired to take that next step in your life journey toward financial independence, toward emancipation, toward economic parity, toward building your financial infrastructure.
Mr. Brown, I appreciate you coming on the Gospel Jazz Connection here. Ms. M, I appreciate you holding it down in the studio. And for those that want to really get another, just sit back and enjoy this here again, you can go to our YouTube channel. That's 4Point Media, LLC. That's F-O-U-R-P-O-I-N-T Media, LLC, 4Point Media, LLC. And I'd like to thank First Lady D. I'd like to thank Lady D. Get well soon, Lady D, so you can get back in the field with us. Ms. M, I'd like to thank you for holding it down inside the studio. Mr. Brown, thank you. Robert Lindsay, George Frazier, all those people that have tirelessly, endlessly tried to help our community.
If you'd like to get your tickets online, you can go out to Sold Out Connections and look for the Emancipation Tour and purchase your tickets online.
And get up on the mailing list for her Sold Out Connection, because Barbara's always, and her team's always got something going on that's really eventful and insightful for our community. Like I say each and every week, put God first and everything else will follow. I guarantee it. Ms. M, thank you for being there. Take it away. God bless.